Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to H2 FY24 Basilisk Fly Studio Limited conference call hosted by Kirin Advisors. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be on listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Please note that the duration of the call will be 60 minutes only. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Chandni Chande from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Basilisk Fly Studio Limited. From management side, we have Mr. Balakrishnan, Managing Director and CEO, Mrs. Yogalakshmi, President, Business Strategy and Whole-Time Director, Mr. D. Prabhakar, Whole-Time Director and Head of Studio, Mr. Nikhil Nida, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, Mr. Sudarshan, Senior Vice President, Finance and Accounts. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Nikhil Nida. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chandni. Good afternoon and warm welcome to our H2 FY24 earnings call, Basilisk Fly Studio Limited. It's a privilege to have you join us today as we reflect on our journey and discuss our financial performance. Welcoming the industry leaders, as we gather here, I'm filled with pride to share remarkable strides BFS has made since our IPO listing on the NSE Emerge platform in September 2023. We are excited to update you about the onboarding of two exceptional individuals who will enhance our creative and operational capabilities: VFX Supervisor Mr. Dan Levitin. With over 30 years of experience, this esteemed VFX supervisor brings a rich depth of knowledge to BFS. His extensive background includes 85 feature films, over 100 television series episodes, numerous national commercials, and special venue projects. He has managed every aspect of VFX with credits in notable productions such as Ambulance, Hacks, Hail Caesar, The Hangover Part 2 and 3, Veronica Mars, Sneaky Pete, and more. Throughout his career, Dan has held various title roles at prestigious companies including Disney, DreamWorks, Warner Bros., Paramount, CBS, Hammerhead, Cinesite, FuseFX, and Hisoft. His proven ability to oversee all facets of visual effects, from script analysis to final delivery, will be crucial in advancing our creative objectives. New COO Mr. Zamir, bringing over two decades of expertise in the VFX and creative sector, our new COO has an impressive career characterized by his pursuit of operational excellence within creative settings. His leadership is expected to drive the flawless implementation of innovative visual effects across varied projects. His work includes significant roles in major productions like The Dark Tower, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, and X-Men, underscoring his substantial impact on the industry. His notable associations with the leading VFX firms such as ILM, Elara, Double Negative, MPC, and Bot VFX further establish his reputation as a distinguished industry leader. Upskilling the technical program. Acknowledging the rapid evolution of the entertainment industry, Basilisk Fly Studio proactively upskills its workforce through upskilling technical programs. This initiative focuses on equipping employees coming from 2D digital VFX background with cutting-edge proficiencies and nurturing their talent to grow as 3D concept artists by prioritizing continuous learning and knowledge acquisition. The studio ensures its talent remains at the forefront of technological advancements, enabling them to tackle complex projects with agility and finesse. Expansion and project portfolio. BFS is expanding its project portfolio with new ventures originating from emerging markets such as Italy, Spain, and France, as well as experiencing a surge in projects from the established markets of North America post the resolution of the writers' strike. This exciting development reflects BFS's growing presence in both emerging and established markets, showcasing the ability to adapt and thrive in the ever-evolving entertainment industry landscape. Global partnerships and awards. Committed to pushing creative boundaries and nurturing global partnerships, Basilisk Fly has reinforced its position as a front-runner in the global entertainment industry. The recent influx of projects from Italy, Spain and France in their regional languages underscores the company's ability to attract collaborations with industry titans and esteemed talent from the diverse regions. The studio's collaborative efforts yielded stunning results, captivating audience and judges alike with their remarkable contributions on the following categories at the BAM Awards recently held in 2024. Best VFX TV Series International, Best VFX Short in TV Series International, Best VFX Short in Feature Film International. The BAM Awards 2024, hailed as India's most comprehensive VFX award ceremony, stands as a beacon of recognition for the exceptional creativity and innovation behind awe-inspiring visuals. Overview and apologies for the inconvenience caused by the wrong uploading of financial statement to the investors. Before delving into the specific award financials, allow me to provide an overview of who we are and who our core business is. Established in 2016, BasilicFly has emerged as a leading force in VFX innovation. With our headquarters based in Chennai and a global footprint extending to Canada and the UK. Today, our team of over 400 plus dedicated professionals operates from strategic locations in Chennai, Pune, London and Vancouver, reaffirming our commitment to delivering world-class VFX solutions across various mediums, from movies and TV shows to web series and commercials. Our journey rooted in creativity and propelled by cutting-edge technology has been nothing short of extraordinary. However, before proceeding further, I must address the issue regarding our financial statement. On behalf of VFS, I wish to apologize to the investors for unforeseen inconvenience caused due to typographical errors present in the uploaded document of consolidated financial statement as of 31st March 2024, which we submitted on National Stock Exchange on April 30, 2024. This was the most apt treatment as per Accounting Standard 21, Consolidated Financial Statement. We identified this error after filing the results and immediately informed the NSE via email on May 1st, 2024. The above error occurred due to the UK wholly owned subsidiary financial numbers inadvertently typed while uploading the financial statement during consolidation. We are committed to accurate financial reporting and are taking steps to ensure such mistakes do not occur in the future. Actually, a wrong attachment was mistakenly chosen while uploading on the NSE portal. We acknowledge the investor's disappointment due to this inconvenience caused and intend to stay committed to regaining the investor confidence by adding an additional layer of internal control, which will in turn ensure stricter internal control and corporate governance working in the interest of the investor fraternity. Now let us shift our focus to the operational highlights of H2 Financial Year 24. As we reflect on the operational highlights of the second half of the fiscal year 24, it's with immense pride and excitement that I share with you the remarkable achievements and significant milestones of BasilicFly Studio Limited. In Financial Year 24, BFS demonstrated unwavering dedication to excellence and innovation in the VFX industry across various sectors. Among our standout projects are iconic titles like Wonka, Mission Impossible, The Guardian of the Galaxy, Holiday Special, Genie, Loki Season 2, and commercials for the brands such as Vodafone, Lego, Audi, and Blade, featuring the memorable Messi 1000 Goals campaign, among many others. Our workforce, as a testament to our commitment to achieving our goals, as of March 2024, we employ around 500 individuals, a robust team dedicated to driving success. Following our IPO, we've experienced significant growth, expanding our employee count. Despite the industry standstill caused by the writers and the actors' strike in the Hollywood from May 23, resulting in this delay and disruption across the industry, we are happy to announce that we have navigated through these challenges very successfully. The resolution of these issues has played a crucial role in facilitating the industry recovery. We experienced a significant surge in the new projects from North America covering various genres. This surge reflects our growing presence in established markets driven by our reputation for delivering high-quality visual effects and our ability to adapt to changing industry dynamics. Moreover, we are expanding our project portfolio into emerging markets like Italy, Spain and France, as already communicated, showcasing our global appeal and ability to thrive in diverse market landscapes. Our commitment to nurturing our workforce through learning and development initiatives remains unwavering, with programs focusing on soft skill training, leadership empowerment, and technical upskilling. We ensure that our employees are equipped to excel in their roles. The remarkable 100% participation rate among all our employees reflects our dedication to continuous growth, employees' faith in us, and development, solidifying our position as a premier VFX studio. Our proactive measures, including expanding into new markets and languages, have not only strengthened our resilience but have also positioned us for sustained growth and leadership in the global VFX arena. Additionally, our strategic investment in senior-level talent, both domestically and internationally, are already yielding promising results, enhancing our connections with the studios and the directors globally. Our goal remains ambitious and our vision expansive as we continue to push the boundaries of creativity, technology, and innovation. Let's delve into the financial highlights of financial year 2024. In FY24, Basilisk Fly Studio Limited showcased exceptional financial performance with significant growth across key metrics compared to the previous year. Consolidated financials. Total revenue surged by 33.75%, amounting to 105.79 crores INR, driven by strong operational efficiency. EBITDA and profit before tax increased by 34.35% and 34.95% respectively, reaching 52.18 crore INR and 50.61 crore INR. The growth in EPS was 9.38%, reaching 17.85 rupees INR, indicating a need for sustained efforts to maximize value in the future. Standalone financials. In our standalone financials for fiscal year 24, total revenue impressively increased by 46.34% to 103.19 crore INR, underpinned by strong operational efficiency. EBITDA rose by 40.69% to 51.68 crore INR, and profit before tax increased by 41.64% to 50.18 crore INR. Moreover, profit after tax improved substantially, rising by 36.20 crore INR. Our EPS stood at 17.69 rupees per share, reflecting our commitment to delivering value to our shareholders. These results underscore our effective management strategy and solid operational performance, positioning us well for the sustained growth and success in the future. The outstanding figures of the receivables in the standalone financials, amounting to 63 crores, can be broken down into 15 crores being more than 180 days of debt, and the remaining 48 crore is less than 180 days of debt. Out of this amount, 1.83 crore is related to the amount receivable from the Canadian subsidiary. The amount due for more than 180 days are on declining pattern. After discussion with clients, we have arrived at a model where they pay us in parts and fractions, ensuring timely recovery. It is important to note that all these clients and studios are production houses of repute. Such arrangement has been aligned in short term due to the industry downtime. Moving forward to the business overview, India's media and entertainment industry is a thriving landscape with immense potential. Investors, now let's dive into the exciting world of India's media and entertainment industry. This sector is experiencing phenomenal growth, projected to reach 3.1 trillion INR by 2026, according to the FICCI E&Y report. Here are the key drivers for this upward trend. Affordable internet access. Wider internet reach fuels the content consumption across the nation. Rise of OTT platforms. Subscription-based streaming services are booming, offering a diverse content. Flourishing gaming market. The Indian gaming industry is witnessing significant growth. A dive into the animation and VFX sector. This segment is particularly promising, with a projected CAGR of 17.5%, reaching INR 185 billion. While there was a temporary slowdown in 2023 due to the international strike, a strong resurgence is expected in the second half of 2024. This is stated by the FICCI E&Y report. Here's what the report further highlights. VFX becoming industry standard. The average number of VFX shot in big budget films is expected to rise significantly, making VFX a crucial element of theatrical releases. Impact of global disruption. The report acknowledges the challenges posed by international strike, causing delay in over 48 films and 46 TV shows worldwide, impacting outsourcing to India. Untapped potential for growth. VFX in advertising. Extensive use of VFX in ad films offers promising avenues for further revenue generation. At present, 5 to 10% of the VFX revenue comes from advertising. Advancement in technology. Real-time rendering and integration of AI and machine learning will empower the artists and streamline the VFX creation process. India, a content creation powerhouse. India boasts an undeniable strength in content creation, producing over 2 lakh hours annually. This captivating content transcends the borders, resonating with global audiences due to its rich cultural tapestry and compelling storytelling. Here's why India is poised to be a global leader. Vast talent pool. India has a wealth of creative talent fueling the content creation in India. Mobile-first approach. India's mobile-driven market provides a unique platform for content consumption. Relentless innovation. The Indian M&B industry is constantly innovating to stay ahead of the curve. Government support for the VFX segment. The Indian government is actively promoting the industry by offering attractive incentive schemes. These schemes reimburse production companies up to 30% of their minimum project expenditure, extending to INR 10 million if they utilize Indian services. Additionally, a 5% bonus is available for projects with Indian content. This initiative will undoubtedly enhance India's VFX industry global competitiveness and foster international collaboration. In conclusion, India's media and entertainment industry presents an exceptional investment opportunity. With its robust growth trajectory, talented workforce and government support, this sector is well positioned for continued success. Moving to Besalix industry position and growth initiatives. In alignment with the industry upward trajectory, Besalix Fly Studio Limited has strategically positioned itself to capitalize on the emerging opportunities. Notably, we have secured domestic projects featuring industry superstars, signaling our strong market presence and creative acumen. Additionally, our expansion initiatives include a diverse portfolio of key projects in the pipeline. Previz for video game cinematics, commencing in the coming days, this project spans for 10 months, coming from AAA level gaming company, showcasing our commitment to long-term engagement and creative excellence. This shall bring an expected revenue of 25 million INR, a blockbuster sequel, anticipated to generate significant revenue of 180 million INR over next 10 to 11 months. This sequel underscores our ability to deliver impactful visual narratives. Exclusive vendor project, scheduled for September 2024. This project spans 8 to 10 months and comprises of 10 episodes. Highlighting our collaborative partnership and end-to-end service capabilities, bringing the book value for 340 million INR. June 24 project, slated to begin early in June 24, this project encompasses approximately 500 shots and is projected to yield a revenue of 200 million INR, showcasing our agility in adapting to evolving market demands. Product modeling project, running on the floor presently is a very non-routine project, where we are working towards making hundreds of models per week for an eyewear brand. This project is expected to be here for 3 to 4 months, bringing the revenue of 45 million INR. These initiatives present a snapshot of our visible pipeline before September 2024, reflecting our steadfast commitment to innovation, excellence, and client satisfaction. As Besalix Fly Studio navigates the dynamic landscape of VFX sector, we remain steadfast in our pursuit of excellence and innovation. We are excited about the opportunities on the horizon and are poised to chart new territories in the realm of animation and VFX. We extend our gratitude to our unwavering support, to your unwavering support, and look forward to continuing this journey for growth and success together. Thank you for joining us today. Now I would like to open the floor for Q&A session. We are more than happy to address the questions you may have. Thank you for your patience and for being a part of our journey.
Thank Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Participants are requested to limit your questions to two per participant. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. So I have two questions. One is, you mentioned that all the log jams which are happening in Hollywood, they are now behind us and you're expecting an uptick in revenues. The new projects that you're expected to get, what are the trends of realization there in terms of hourly rates, if you can give an apples to apples comparison?
Thank you for your question. This is Balakrishnan, Managing Director of Basic Life Studio Limited. In terms of strike and the project that is coming in, and the strike was over around end of October, and November and December has been Thanksgiving holidays and Christmas. And things really picked up around end of January. That is, those are projects for which the production kept on hold after, the production as in the shoot got completed and the further development kept on hold. Those were the projects that came on floor around January end, and it went up to April, end of April and May first week. So those are the projects that we were working on for the second half. And for the second half, the projects that are under development where it has been started from end of March, and some of the projects started around April end, and some of these other projects are about to start by end of this month. So these projects would ideally be coming to floor, that is on to post-production by around the end of July, August and September. So that is where the timelines are. And this is very much based upon the reports and the official confirmation of release date being announced by studios like Marvel, Disney, Warner Brothers, the biggest studios. And these dates are primarily around end of, that is towards June, July 2025. So there are bigger movies, and if you take the last 23 and the year 23 and 24 particularly, there wasn't much of a bigger slate, as in there are very few movies that have been released in this year 24. But if you look at the majority of them has been pushed back to 25 July and August, 25 June, July, that is the year 25. So that is where we see this releases. If you take, for example, the movies like Jurassic Park and Superman, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, all these movies, and likewise Thunderbolts, Captain America, and Passion of Christ, so these Batman 2, so all these movies are down to 25 release. So if you take, if 25 is heavily packed with movie releases from May to June, July is where most of them are getting released for the summer, and primarily to October as well.
So that was not exactly what I was asking. So my question was, because of the logjam that happened, and all the movies are now getting bunched up in 2025, what happened to the realization? Because across the board, every VFX studio has increased capacity, right? So the supply has increased, but the demand was not there. So the new projects which are coming in, are they coming in at good rates? Will we be able to maintain our margins?
You mean at this moment, what rates that we've been working on?
Yeah, compared to, so you have a standing guidance that EBITDA margins should be around 35%, PAT margins should be 20%. So will you be able to maintain those?
Yes, I got it. Currently, what we've been working on is, as a company, we have a major presence here in India, and also we have our executives based out of the overseas locations as well. So one is what we've been doing is we've been working on and providing discount rates to clients based upon the current situation for the work that come to India primarily. And there are other work that we've been working on is the work that comes out of, that involves the work comes out of these overseas region, where they are pretty much compared competition to the smaller and mid-level studios in the overseas location.
those are the projects where it is getting us better margin. But the ones that we would primarily work on India is where we've been giving discounts. If you look into maybe 75% of what we work in India is discounted, but 25% what it comes out of these overseas locations would add to our margin. So that is where we've been balancing out this current situation.
Okay.
Okay.
Your margin guidance.
That's how, yeah, we've been working on. Yeah.
Okay. The second thing on this financial reporting part. So I was a bit confused. First of all, it was like the most unprofessional thing that I've ever seen in the markets. Second, I see that you have signed the financials, right?
Yeah.
It's not just that a random attachment was added, right? You have signed those wrong financials. And I don't know whether the board saw the right copy or the wrong copy of the financials. And if you are uploading another set of financials, I didn't see any intimation about another board meeting.
Okay.
So I don't know whether the new set of financials have been approved by the board through the proper process or not. Second subpart to this question is the financials which were initially uploaded. I don't understand exactly what has happened there. You mentioned something about a UK subsidiary. I didn't really understand what the explanation is. I was just wondering, I mean, there are some additional costs, right? Because the profits were down by some 10-odd crores.
Mm-hmm.
And where are those expenses? I mean, can I, to be very, very honest and slightly blunt, I don't know which set of numbers to actually trust, because this was not a typographical error, right? This was a line item which was like extremely bloated. There were at least two line items which were extremely bloated. And I don't know whether I can trust the numbers. And the third subpart of the same question, have you heard anything from SEBI? Is SEBI looking into all this? What exactly happened? Because you published something, you are saying that you intimated NSC on the 1st, which was a holiday, but other companies were reporting their P&Ls for those days, and NSC was approving those numbers. So where was the delay in uploading whatever you posted to NSC? So that is there. And then there's another thing that I noticed, that on 2nd, your clarification to the exchange has a timestamp, at least what we can see. The timestamp is, to be very, very exact, it was 12:21 p.m. And there was clearly a lot of buying in the stock at around starting 10:30. So there was clearly some sort of a leak which happened. So has SEBI approached you? Have they questioned you what exactly happened? Have you asked for a clarification from NSC why there was a delay from their side in uploading whatever you had sent them? So this is like such a big fiasco, and I'm just afraid. And I genuinely don't know what to trust here, because this has, there have been instances where companies have made mistakes in their financials. First of all, the rectification comes in much, much quicker than what you guys did, right? What happened in this case. And second, the issues have been very minor. There have been like decimal places or related mistakes, or there were actual typographical errors. But here it doesn't look like a typographical error. Yeah,
sir,
so that is my like long question on this entire thing.
Sir, I'll come forward to address this question. Nikhil, this is the company secretary this side. The financials approved at the board meeting were the correct financials. As you are aware that after the board meeting, it is a very less span for us to upload the documents. 30 minutes alone are there. So a set was already prepared one day in advance, but before it went to the board for final submission, we were going through a mock run, and we realized that an accounting standard treatment has not been done correctly in the draft accounts ready, which were to be presented to the board on the next day. That is the reason before the board meeting itself, the changes were done, and it was just the treatment done in one head, which was supposed to be done in another head, because of which the changes in the figures were visible. And the correct financials were approved in the board meeting. But at the time of uploading, somehow inadvertently the attachment which was longer one, which had the earlier document, was used to affix the signatures, and that is what which was used and uploaded. That is where the problem actually happened. Talking about the accounting treatment, I would request the accounts team, finance team to kindly jump in and help us give a clarity on the treatment of it.
Hello.
Adding to the point of Mr. Nikhil, I am from the accounts department side. So during the time of board meeting, the financial results was properly displayed and that has been discussed and approved. Okay. As Nikhil rightly said that the statement while we are attaching well within the stipulated time period, it has gone into wrong. So this has been noticed within an hour from the date of from the time of it has been uploaded. And we were trying to reach the NSE how to retrieve on this. But unfortunately, next day falls on a holiday. So instead of waiting for them to come and give an answer on second, so first itself, we have put up a mail to NSE saying that there is an error in terms of attachment. And on the second day, we were trying to reach the NSE before the market opening, but we were unable to get them online. But we have tried to reach them by 10:30 or 10:45. By the time they said that they'll have to discuss internally with the legal team and come back. And while coming back, it took time. So other than that, there won't be any intentional delay from our side or there won't be any error from the financial statement. It's a purely on an clerical error while it has been attachment. And as a company, we really apologize for that, the task or the loss which has been taken by the stakeholders.
The thing is here, this is nothing to do with the market or the operating performance of the company. This is completely an error which has
happened. Sorry to interrupt, Agastya.
No, madam. You can't. Ma'am, here you cannot interrupt because this is a very important issue and I'm pretty sure everyone on the call wants to ask this question. So let me just continue and this is the last thing I'm saying. Uske baad I'll rejoin the group. So my only thing is the error has happened from your end. NSE may have compounded the error. But the entire brunt has been borne by anyone who was holding the shares those days. So I don't know what exactly has happened between you and NSE because I've never known NSE or BSE to commit such a mistake. And now there is actual tangible loss. And the biggest thing is that 10:30 the circuit opened, there was huge amount of buying in the stock. Clearly somebody knew what was happening. And it's a very, very tangible loss, which has nothing to do with market risk. So I don't know what you guys, there is obviously a liability on your head. So in US, I know this would have led to a class action lawsuit. I don't know whether you guys are prepared for that. Whoever gave you that legal advice, I don't understand why a simple statement on NSE saying that please disregard our arrear financials, there is a mistake, we'll upload the financials as and when. Just a simple one-line statement on NSE could have helped the shareholders, but you screwed everyone over. So I don't know what is happening, but you should seriously consider reimbursing the people who have lost the money. So that's it from my side. I don't know how this will pan out, and I don't know whether SEBI is even looking into all this because this is a very, very tangible hit that every shareholder has taken in your company. And this leaves a very bad taste in the mouth. But thank you very much for your time. All the best. Ma'am, I'm done.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Yashwanti from Cogen Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. You mentioned a couple of your projects. So I just wanted to know, as on today, what is our order book that is executable in FY25?
The question is not audible. Can you please
come again? Yeah, I just wanted to know what is your order book executable in FY25? Am I audible?
Yeah, if you can just repeat again.
I just wanted to know what is the order book to be executed in FY25?
Yes. You mean the order book for FY25?
Yeah. What is the current order book that is executable in FY25? Anything is but be executable in FY26?
Yeah, in FY25, we are expecting, and likewise, we do have a confirmed order of pre-release assassin with the nickel statement. We have a pre-release of video game cinematics of 25 million INR. That is that would span around for 10 months time. That is start around May, and by end of February it would go around. And likewise, we have another project where, without naming it, the movie project where we have worked on the previous sequel of that movie as well. For that, we are aiming at around 10 to 11 months time to work on this project.
Actually, just wanted to know, sir, what is the total order book size? Like,
total order book would be roughly around 75 crores.
75.
This is the visibility
of the
first half.
Yeah. So we are already sponsored. Yeah. 100 crore mark in the current year, and what kind of growth then we can expect for FY25 with this size of the order book and likely potential post Hollywood strike, your expansion in a team. So what kind of growth you foresee for FY25?
So currently we are estimating a growth of around 30% for the FY25, and also from September onwards, from August-September onwards, we do see a surge in the market based upon the confirmed release date of the movie project that has been announced by the major production networks. So compared to 23 last quarter and likewise our 24 overall year, that 25 looks to be a confirmed release of major projects lined up for the year. And that is where we've been expecting. And the overall media industry itself, for example, based on FICCI ENY report, of the revenue for the VFX industry, it looks like it around 5,400 crore for the overall for India VFX industry is around 5,400 crore for the last year, but it's expected to grow to 6,300 crore for this year. So our growth will pretty much align to the growth of the industry.
Okay, and can you throw some light on your EBITDA margin?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, EBITDA margin is something that would be able to maintain what the EBITDA margin that we have maintained for the previous years.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yep. First of all, thank you very much for this call. So I would just wanted to understand currently what's the mix of our direct production versus subcontracting, and how do we see that moving going forward?
In terms of direct production, we initially were around 50%, and we have increased to 35% now. And from production, from the studios, it's around 65%.
So subcontract work comes to 65%, and 35% is direct studio resources.
And how do we see that movie?
Pretty much for the second half of 2025 is where that 2024 is where things would really move forward in the direction of where we get more direct orders. And from 2024 onwards, we would look to see that moving from 35% to 45-50% by around maybe first half of 2025. That would move around to 50%.
So by what? 2025? Your voice was not audible. By when?
By first quarter of 2025.
By first quarter of 2025?
First quarter in the sense January to March is what.
So by March 25, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, March 25.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then when you mentioned about the revenue growth of 30%, but you do expect surge only from September to October onwards, right? From September, October onwards. So will it be fair to say that first half of FY25, your growth will be much lesser than 30%, and which you expect to compensate in the second half with a better than 30% growth?
That is where we see the shift moving towards, moving from September to the end of March. That is where the majority of the work would come around, and that is where the shift in balance would move around. So, primarily, yes. Yeah.
So first half, your growth will be lesser than, say, 30%, which will compensate with a higher than 30%
in the second half. Yes. And likewise,
And just for clarification, you said you look to maintain PAT margin of 35%, right? Which you have done in the last year.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. I think that's it from my side. All the way best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Mahadevia from MoneyGrow India. Please go ahead.
Hi, Bala and team. First of all, I wanted to say I echo the dissatisfaction of the first caller regarding the accounts. Can you give us some clarity around the split of the revenues between Roto, Paint, Matchmove and Composting as a percent of revenues?
Hi, Viraj. And in terms of revenue split between Roto, Paint and Matchmove, that is something because we actually bid based upon the task and cost involved is based upon the shot that we deliver. It would be very intricate to split between Roto, Paint and Matchmove task. Maybe between projects is what we would be able to maybe bifurcate based on the revenue.
But approximately across your overall revenue base, how much would be Roto revenues? How much would be Paint, Matchmove and Composting revenues? Approximately, even if they are ranges?
Approximately, percentage 30% for Roto and 20-25% for Paint and rest others, rest compositing and other was 45%.
You mean 45% in total?
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, is what we are hearing is a lot of the studios hired a bench and have actually started letting go of people, including in India, in the last few months. So how does that tie in with your move around a planned expansion? Are you going slower? You're obviously using a lot of your cash up and working capital. Despite making this 35 crore PAT, you have negative cash flows, which is eating up your cash balances. So how are you thinking about the expansion and are you looking to expand the bench?
We are looking at two different ways in terms of how we would expand from here. One is the timeliness. Timeliness in the sense we've been based upon our inquiry and also based on the credible reports and also with our inquiry with the production networks as well. We've been told from August onwards we would see a surge and that would potentially be opening up to confirmation to in worst case scenario it would be September. So that is what we've been hearing from studios. So we are timing our recruitment closer to that. That is by June, July is what we would recruit. We would not be recruiting to, around August, but by June, July is what we've been planning. And apart from that, we are also working towards strategic partnerships as well. So strategic partnerships with the different locations. So other apart from recruitment and increasing our resources, we are also focusing on incentive-based location presence. So through which we will build strategic partnerships. And that is something that we've been working closely on based upon our different strategies in terms of technology-driven companies where we would closely work with. So this would really help us expedite our plans for the future.
Understood. I'll come back with more questions. Thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Jain from Steel Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Thanks. So, when we are guiding for about 30% growth this year, I understand that is based on the pipeline and the conversations about further work coming in the latter half of the year. So this seems organic, right? Are we also working on the inorganic piece, any opportunities which we think we can close in the next two or three quarters?
Yeah, very much, Pranay. And we've been working on that as well. And we also have appointed an advisor who's working on that. And we are very much closer in terms of discussing with few potential partnerships. So that is something that should come in maybe based upon how this discussion takes place, move forward to the next level. That is, we are already in closer discussion. That should ideally realize maybe sooner. So we will keep you posted. As in when we have the appropriate time, we see appropriate time to announce this.
Okay. And the government support which is coming to the industry, you said that you are also in talks for strategic partnership for long-term engagement. So can you tell us more about, one, what is the benefit we as a company see from these incentives? Because I hear that many studios now want to directly ship work and get rebates, which are very, very competitive globally, which the government is now offering. It's very handsome, at least for the next 1 year. So what kind of partnership and work and also benefit in terms of profitability we can expect, or are we going to pass on these benefits as is to our partners and maintain the same margins and not grow them?
Yeah. So one thing is, it is more promising and encouraging where the government has announced 30% of minimum project expenditure based up for the VFX studios that would be working on foreign content, international content, and likewise the minimum cap at, maximum cap at 300 million rupees for each project. So that is something that we would like to utilize for moving forward this year, and that is something is there, and we will look forward to make the use of to our operations. And other thing is, in terms of partnerships, what we've been looking at is, one is, as I mentioned, the technology-driven company. In the sense, what we've been looking at is a real-time 3D content creation is what, as a company, we wanted to really take it up. We have trained our artists in the last year as well into mainly towards real-time content creation, that is Unreal and other stuff, so that they can create contents on CG in a real quick time. And based on that, our partnership also would be towards the company who is very much into these areas. And also we've been currently working on a very similar project as well. So in the strike situation, what has taught us is to look into other different avenues and look out for challenges. So we've been working on these kind of projects and working on real-time projects for corporate films and likewise for gaming cinematics and likewise for diversified into other markets as well. So our partnership is primarily down to incentive location and technology-driven company. And another thing is current reputation in the market. And likewise, who would be, as in the, based on incentive in the sense, the benefit would be based upon the opportunities would come to them based upon the incentives available in the location. And sharing that work with here in India, we would get those returns back from the government as well coming out from foreign production. So simultaneously, we are looking at this kind of a partnership.
So presently, whatever projects we are working on, do any of those qualify for these benefits, or it will have to be fresh and new project from here on which we will file to claim those benefits?
So based on reading the notes from the government and also the application form, what we can look into is for VFX projects particularly, they don't need to have any interim date. We can apply based upon the contract, whatever we have with the potential international client. So that is that. Only for productions, they will have to get the approval before they start any production. So that is what we see here. Nikhil, if you want to add anything on that.
As on date, we are negotiating and we are understanding the government side also. We have initiated some conversation that side. So a big picture of clarity has to come, but what prima facie looks like, that fresh projects only will fall into this, because that way we'll have to have a customized agreements and contracts also made with them. But more clarity is yet to flow in. We have already initiated the conversations.
And if you could just tell me, Nikhil, about the conversation with our studio or other partners on the content side, because 75% is the work that we're doing in India, and naturally the value addition technology will have to happen from here. So whoever our partners are, whether it is Netflix, Amazon, Apple, so on so forth, what is the future pipeline of work you see coming to us through this route, which will benefit them as well as us, Symbiotic?
No, actually, discussion with partners is something...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Jain. May we request that you return to the question queue so the participants wait for their turn?
No other question, just this to be answered.
So I am in touch with FFO, wherein I am initiating the conversation with the government side. With the partner side, I'm not taking that ahead. That's being taken care of by the management. So FFO side is something I'm taking care of.
Okay, if anybody can comment on that, otherwise I'll get back.
So certainly there is a lot of scope there, but some materialized things are yet to come. That is what I can say right now.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Kabra from Pkday Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, Bala. Hi, Yogalakshmi. Hi, Nikhil. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to ask two sets of questions, again, both one on the demand side and one on the receivable side. You said 50 crores has come from more than 180 days, like more than 6 months, right? And that is, you're saying there is a road to closure. What is that road to closure? And when do we expect, what will be the steady state of our receivables outstanding? How many days of receivables will we have outstanding in steady state? And when do we hope to get there?
So, Parikshit, to just add to it, as we mentioned, that 15 crore is something which is pending more than 180 days. So, as a measure from our side, we've already pitched in and got a settlement done, a program made with the client that they can pay us in weekly or monthly installments. That is not the case that they don't have a capacity to pay, but it's a temporary requirement because of the market downtime. Because most of these studios where we have these receivables standing, they are in the North American market where the market has actually hit the most. And we have standing relations with these people from close to 6 or 8 years, long-term relations we have with them. So this is just a temporary arrangement. And we are very hopeful and we are very determined towards this, that moving forward, this situation will 100% improve in the favor of the company.
I'm asking for some kind of quantification there, Nikhil. If you have agreed with them on the 15 crores payment terms on a monthly or weekly basis, when does the 15 crore come to us completely? By when? How many months? How many weeks?
I would say it is a little early for us to comment on a precise timeline, because one or two places the arrangement has been settled, other two, three places it's in the talking terms. So something will come up very soon. Maybe whenever we have a next investor call, there we can give a precise number in terms of the timeline.
All right. And the second part, which was the what is the steady state outstanding receivables that we expect to, and when do we expect to get there? Anything on that?
No. Could you please come again?
So currently, out of 100 crore top line, we have a receivable outstanding of 60 crores, right? That's about 200 or about 200 days of outstanding. What do we want our receivables to be?
I'll clarify the question much more, rather. So if you see 63 crores of receivable, out of this only 15 crore is something which is long time pending. Because the market started opening very recently, that is the reason in February and March we have a lot of orders booked in the bill book, and that is how the receivable is looking bigger. But this is not actually bigger, it is just the normal credit cycle of 60 to 90 days depending upon the customer. So this already in April we have received some of the money out of this 63 crore as per the payment terms with the client. So this 63 is visibly 63, but this is something which relates to the sale that happened very recently in February and March. So it is as per the routine course. It's just that there was a lot of silence in the market for some 3-4 months, because of which the orders actually jumped in a bigger volume in the month of February and March. Once the international market stabilizes, within 3 to 4 months, everything will be in a visible good flow.
Okay. So besides the 15 crores, everything else is in 90-day payment cycle is what you're saying?
Less than 180 days. Less than 180 days, because there is some amount due from Canadian subsidiary also. Because of the international market issue, even our Canadian subsidiary doesn't have that kind of a fund flow to pay to the holding company. So that also a small portion is standing in the 63 crores.
Got it. And in terms of...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Kabra. May we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, please note that the duration of this call is for 1 hour only. Participants, you are requested to restrict your questions to 2 per participant only. We'll move on to the next question. That is in the line of Shikhar Mundra from Vivo Commercial Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. On the receivable part, the standalone balance sheet shows a receivable of 63 crores, while the consolidated is showing a receivable of 53 crores. So that must mean around 10 crores is owed by the subsidiary to the standalone. But how does that work? Because the subsidiary has not done any significant revenues. So
maybe the finance team can answer this.
Yeah, compared with the consolidation, there is a reduction on the receivable because the internal transaction has to be nullified. That is, the Canadian receivable has to be knocked off. Okay. Otherwise, in standalone, it looks like that only.
Okay. But the difference is around 10 crores. So, how can the subsidiaries owe like 10 crores to the... I mean, how does the subsidiary owe 10 crores to the standalone company? Because, for what do they owe?
The Canadian entity has to pay back the money of 10 crores. So that has got been adjusted in the consolidated. So this was there in the last year and onwards. As Nikhil rightly said, that due to the collection pending from the Canadian side, though this has been showing as an outstanding. But as far as the standalone is concerned, we'll have to definitely disclose that, including the subsidy, how much we are supposed to receive. But while doing a consolidation, it has to be knocked off.
Okay, so I heard like the Canadian subsidiary was only 1.8 crore in the opening remarks. So,
I would add to it that 1.8 is something which is a very recent one in this less than 180 days debt. So, other than that is more than 180 in terms of number of days.
Okay. So, regarding your subsidiary...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Mundra. So, may we request that you return to the question queue? There are participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Cheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, what are these other current assets in your balance sheet? Do you have to take any write-offs on your receivables by any chance, considering that they are in excess of 6 months now? And lastly, the industry has a lot of overcapacity. A lot of people, a lot of studios have hired a lot of artists. Is there a case that when the market opens, actually the margins in the projects will be far lower than what you had ever thought?
Regarding in terms of the margins after the industry comes back, in terms of that, what we do see is overall as a company, basically we have not only our India presence but also global presence in terms of our executives working globally, and that is what our focus is primarily towards getting out global work, and that is to work out maybe in competition to the smaller and mid-level studios in US, UK and other parts overseas. So in those cases, what we've been essentially targeting at those projects where at the moment streaming platforms like Netflix, Amazon, they've been cutting down on cost moving towards next year and working towards high quality products. In those cases, India would be an essential player in terms of handling those kind of high-end work, and also maybe in terms of cost, how we can cut down on cost in competition to the UK, US and Canadian studios. So if you look into that aspect, we would be more in competition and we would be in a better position to work towards margin. Our margin would be much better in comparison to what it is in UK. For example, if you take $500 to $600 per day there, and if you take $150 per day here, it's much better margin. So that is something we would be working towards and getting those kind of projects.
You have to answer on other current assets and you have to answer on the receivables in excess of 180 days. Is there any risk of writing off?
I'll request the finance team to answer this, please.
Coming to the receivables, as Nikhil was already explained, these are all very recently taken into consideration for the revenue, that is for the month of Jan, Feb and March. So as far as the receivable cycle is concerned, it's between 90 to 120 days. So we hope the receivables, there won't be any issue other than 15 crores, what was mentioned with one of the customers where we are an arrangement to get it on installment basis. Other than that, there won't be any panic in terms of return off on the receivables. We absolutely on the control. We can definitely collect these money well within the stipulated time limit as per the contract. So this is regarding the receivables. While coming to the other current assets are in a part of work in progress, and even the GST refund which should come, because since we are into export services, whatever Indian GST incurred, that has to be come back. So these are the two major items which is covered into the other current assets.
How much is work in progress in this?
Work in progress is roughly 19 crores. GST refund is 5 crore plus.
So which means work in progress is also a part of your working capital, right?
Work in process is nothing but is an unbilled value, wherein we had incurred an expenditure.
So can you tell us what will be your net working?
Sorry to interrupt.
Ma'am, this is a continuation. What will be your net working capital cycle in your business in a normalized basis?
A net working capital, I would say 60 days.
Including work in progress, including debtors,
yeah.
Minus receivable, everything?
All put together. All put together.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now have the conference over to Ms. Chandni Chande for a closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Basilic Fly Studio Limited. If you have any queries, you can write to us at research@kiranadvisors.com. Once again, thank you for joining the conference.
Hello, Chandni. I would like to add on top of it to conclude the call. I could see some of the concerns being expressed over the call about the financial statements and other things. And as a managing director and CEO of the company, this is something that I would like to express. This is not something intentionally done from our side. This is an error, and also the morning and also towards the first May evening and likewise the second May morning, we tried our best effort to do it on time to make it to NSE. And this is something really seriously we put our effort to make sure that we wouldn't lose any time. But we tried our best effort and with intention, and this is an error we understand. And likewise, this is something that we've been doing very serious in our business, where we work on Hollywood content, and it's a very serious thing where we take more care towards confidentiality and security in our business. And we've been building this business with a lot of reputation and respect in the industry. And even if it's within the industry, it's more of a reputation that we have built, and we have gracefully grown over the years. And for the last 10 years, we have built this company like anything as a kid, as a baby, we have built this company. And we are not here to do any misdeed or mischievous things here in this market, but rather we wanted to focus on our business. We wanted to take this company to a global perspective and global strength. That is where we are here. And likewise, I understand, I can clearly see where this where investors are coming from, and can see the concerns that they have expressed, and I can sincerely understand the concerns. And what I can really do is we can really make sure that as a serious assurance, we will take more extra steps towards this, like what we do with our business. And this is something that we would really assure everyone that this is not something we wanted to do something different from our side, but rather as a serious focus within building this business. This is something I would like to express.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kiran Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.